Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Get to the phone lines in 1 second, but John Harbaugh meeting with the media right now, that's according to our friend Jeff Cerebic from The Athletic, said the team's very accountable. He says that doesn't feel like the problem. Quote, it matters. I know how much they care because I see how hard they play. They're working hard. They take responsibility for their mistakes, just like the coaches do. I don't know that I saw that yesterday, but Harbs did, and he did get to watch the film, which, you know, they got special
film. Talk about a hate watch.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. Back out to the phone lines we go, and let's go to Will in Randallstown. Will, you're on the fan.
Who has it better than us? Everybody.
Yeah,
that's what, Jason, you hit it right on the head, bro. I was looking at D'Amico Ryan's eyes, and every time they got a pick, he was like, let's go. Yep. Let's go. Let's get him. And it's, what do you think the last time Sean McVay was here? You remember the overtime punt?
I was there, Tylan Wallace.
I think it might have knocked him out of the playoffs. I told my son the last couple of weeks, I don't know what Vegas is doing, and it did seem a little weird that they were favored in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I wasn't buying it. I was taking Kansas
Chiefs
City.
Money line.
I thought it was kind of a little weird on yesterday. Not weird, but I was like not buying into it. And you, what do you think? Next week, the only thing I can think of having a question of betting is it going to be Stafford that tears apart, or is it going to be Kyle Williams? I don't know which one.
Both.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, the
answer is yes.
The wall for this team.
Now, appreciate the call. Yeah, Matthew Stafford and Kieran. Well, Kieran Williams is holding the ball, but the Ravens don't create turnovers, so you don't have to worry about that against good teams. They have not created a turnover against a team not named the Cleveland Browns, including the playoffs. Last Christmas was the last time.
I suspect that I'll be playing. I think the way I'm going to attack it is a lot of passing in the first half. Like, I think he can get his 3 or 4 out of Stafford in the first half. So I'm going to try. I'm going to play Puka like first half overs. Like, I'm going to play Davante Adams, first half touchdown. And then I think both running backs he'll get going in the second half, because he's got to build both their confidence up, because, well, they've only got 2 rushing touchdowns all year out of running backs, 1 out of Nacua, and both had fumbling issues.
And you're also playing a pissed off Rams team after laying an egg to a division rival. And,
well,
they
and
have
blowing
extra
one
time
in Philadelphia the week before.
Yeah, 2 weeks before. They did beat the Colts in between. Yeah, a game they almost lost there, the Colt game. Let's go to JT in Parkville. JT, you're on the fan.
You stole my thunder, Jason. I wanted to bring that up. When the future Hall of Fame quarterback and the talent that the Rams have drop a 60 spot on this defense, and Eric DaCosta is picking in the top 5, is he going to do what his mentor did, who is still in the building, draft a monster who can collapse the pocket and get constant pressure on a quarterback, or draft a guy who left college, the all-time sack leader? No. He drafts guys who are the football version of one-hit wonders. Let's go through it. David Ajabo, 1 year at Michigan, he had double-digit sacks, I guarantee offensive coordinators were more worried about the guy on the other side. So they would chip Hutchinson, and Hutchinson still got his. Mike Green, 17 sacks at Marshall. His first 2 years at Virginia, he had what?
Not many.
Not many. And don't even start me on a Dafe Owe. So when he picks in the
analytics
top
five, guys love them, brother. Yeah, they love all the quants. Love them.
Top five and does not draft a guy who can eat up the middle or an edge guy who has constant production in sacks. Well, he can rent the car, and his buddy on the other side of the parking lot in the warehouse can pack the bags, and they can ride out together because neither one of them is drafting really, really good lately.
Appreciate you know who the next great D-tackle in this division is? He's a player we talked about a whole lot leading up to the draft. Derek Harmon.
Derek Harmon's a stud.
Hey, Derek Harmon.
He's a duck.
Derek Harmon. Watch coming out of this bye week. Now that because remember, he's making up for lost
time. Mason Graham ain't bad either in Cleveland.
No, but I'm telling you. Derek Harmon.
By the way, so he's saying that the Ravens draft the Spandau Ballets of defensive players, the one-hit wonders of defensive players.
They haven't drafted a D-tackle since Nada. Hello, that was 2006. We're talking about 20 years in the first round.
Drafting all corners and safeties. How many of them are really any good?
Yeah.
Right now. Because it matters now.
Yeah.
You're in Super Bowl or bust mode now. People pay their real money to go watch a team that you hyped as a Super Bowl contender now.
Kyle Hamilton's hurt. Let's go to Jason in Baltimore.
He's having a monster year.
Jason, you're
a
fan.
Boy, he was a difference maker. Whoa! All over the football.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I probably will state the obvious on a couple of my points here, but you guys asked if it was fixable. It's obviously fixable. It can be fixed. But the issue is, what time are you leaving yourselves after you fix it? Because, you know, let's just assume we go into this bye week at 1-5, right? You run the season out, you're 12-5. You lose one more game, you're 11-6. Lose two more games, you're 10-7. So it's like doesn't give you a lot of room for error. So is it fixable? Yeah, but will it be too late? It might be. But a couple things real quick. I think we're missing Patrick Ricard a lot in that run game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he opens his holes up for us big time. And there's two sides to blame for the Ravens' woes right now. So you got the coaches, you got the players. And, you know, in the past, we have been blessed with amazing leaders, especially on defense, like Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, stuff like that, right? But my question is, who really is stepping up on defense right now and holding people accountable? Because, you know, those players would come back and they'd say, hey, listen, like, yeah, we didn't want to let Ray down. We didn't want to let Ed down. You know, we didn't want to go to the sidelines, look at them in the face and say, yeah, that was my bad. You know, who do we have that's stepping up right now who's really pushing those players and driving those players and make themselves accountable?
I think they've got a cultural problem. Yeah, I mean, have you ever read a story about everybody going over to Roquan's house on a Wednesday night and watching film together?
They did. They did talk about during training camp that all the secondary guys got together for dinner. Like once Jair got here, they all got together.
But I'm talking about if we're going to talk about the lineage of this
franchise.
Ed and Ray
they
and
don't
taking
have
people under their wing
don't have
and
it.
Teaching them how to watch film on their own. And I don't hear that. I've never read that story.
No.
By the way, I know is Roquan Smith. You want to put a microphone around him after a loss, and that's the fastest he'll run that whole day.
By the way, he mentioned Ricard. Harbs did touch on Ricard at the presser, saying it was supposed to be a 2 to 3 week injury. He re-aggravated it. If we knew it was going to go down like this, they would have IR'd him. They're hoping to have him back for the Bears game. So that's a Patrick Ricard update. Let's go to Ian. Ian, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
You know, you guys have called it. You guys have been saying it for 2 years. Jason, you've been saying it 2 years about the Orioles. You've been saying it for years about the Ravens. It, at some point, it's all going to come to fruition. They can do the semantics and, you know, the parables all they want. But over the last 2 years, the organizational failures within the Ravens have been terrible from, you know, just the roster building by Eric DaCosta, Steve Pisciotti hiding.
Yep.
He doesn't find it necessary to talk to the fans about the complete, you know, underachieving and playoff failures, blown leads, the way they handled the whole Justin Tucker situation.
Shameful.
With the tone deaf. John Harbaugh, his message, he's tone deaf.
Yes.
And I think he's lost credibility with the fans. he's lost credibility with the players. And I think a lot of that stems from who he was, you know, rubbing elbows with over the summer that nobody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it happened. Can do those type of things. And it's a shame. You know, I'm disgusted. And this doesn't feel like the Ravens. This doesn't feel like the Ozzie Newsome-led Ravens. And the Ravens are in trouble. They really are, from a culture standpoint, an organizational standpoint. You know, this might end up being the downturn of what we thought was going to be a successful playoff run with the best quarterback in Baltimore history, and it's a damn shame. It really is. And Harbaugh with his, you know, cronyism, everything about it is just it's run its course. Everybody give Mike Tomlin the same flack. But he's had how many different quarterbacks in the last 5 years start, and they're still with injuries and depleted rosters, and they always find a way to stay in these games. They don't give up on Tomlin no matter what. Harbaugh, I think I've never wanted to say this, but I think he's lost the team.
I really appreciate
the call.
Yeah. It's hard to argue. And I would have argued that for a long time.
And I both.
And I'm the one who said I would ship Harbaugh and a mid-round draft pick for Tomlin in a split second. Yeah, they ain't going to take it. I would do it in a split second.
I'm with the caller on everything, but Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. That is not an organization that I'm trying to
But we've never seen them quit like this.
Oh, for sure.
You don't think Mike Tomlin 100%. Win a whole lot of football games with Lamar Jackson?
Dude, he had Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell.
They're nutcases, and they still
they win two playoff games.
All right, whatever.
Dude, and a great defense. Let's not act like Tomlin hasn't underachieved as well. They've wanted to run him out for years.
Let's grab Mason in Baltimore. Mason, you're on the fan.
I'll trade in a second.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's
hey
up?
There.
Hey, man. So, first of all, I don't know everybody's credentials or whatever, but I think we need to administer some drug tests to the callers before. And Harbaugh, accountability is not on the top of our list. Nobody is holding themselves accountable. He walked around until this week with a smirk on his face on the sidelines while we're getting beat to the ground. That's first of all. Second of all, EDC, and we had nothing but praise for him over the years. You said it yourself. 2006 was the last defensive lineman we drafted. And that's been our issue, our glaring issue, for over 7 years.
Yep.
Lastly, Bone said it best. We're playing a pissed-off Rams team this week, right? None of these guys, and it's been said over and over again on the segment in the show and over the week, nobody has no fight. Nobody. You look like a sad little brother on the sideline, not somebody who's pissed off that had their girlfriend taken, right? Someone who can't get a controller and play the game. Go out there, earn your money, and actually earn some stripes and stop pouting and go do your job. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Now, that's a good way to finish the segment. Way to go, Mason. By the way, it's the old saying.
I'm just going to say,
back to back.
Start spinning it forward a little bit. They got a middle linebacker making $20 million they're stuck with who sucks. They're going to need multiple corners. Like,
that's
this
a strength,
Marlin
Jason.
Thing is over. They're going to need multiple corners.
They got tons of corners.
They probably need three pass rushers.
Yeah.
If Matabike's done,
they need
maybe three defensive tackles. Mm. They need a left tackle.
Their entire tight end room is up for
right?
a contract.
Like, bro, that is, and with the way they work in the offseason and the way Silent Steve don't want to pay on the outside and comp picks, bro, they are multiple. Lamar or not, they're multiple off seasons away.
Appreciate the calls. We'll take some more calls in the 4 o'clock hour. Coming up next, now we need to get back to the rest of the National Football League, and we'll head to London. How did Dylan Gabriel look in his first start? Sean Payton beat the Eagles. What do you have to say? And Mike McDonald can't win at home. It's League at Large next here on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
A fan.
Fannin split out wide to the left on third down. To the end zone. It is caught. Njoku for a Cleveland Browns touchdown.
NFL Network with the call. Dylan Gabriel, 19 of 33 for a buck 90, two touchdowns. But the Cleveland Browns can't hold on to the lead. They lose 21-17 to the Vikings in London.
Yeah, there's some, and I think rightfully so, some questioning of how Stefanski handled this situation. I thought Dylan Gabriel acquitted himself pretty well.
I did too.
Like, surprisingly well under the circumstances. Like, these are two good coaches. They both, I think, have dealt with some quarterback adversity and won more games than a lot of mediocre coaches would. That's a big, big win for O'Connell. Had he lost both those games in London and coming back and turning it over to McCarthy, which I think is probably what they want to do. Because I don't know, like, how much of this Wentz you can ride. Like, you know,
he's fun.
Like, a couple of weeks, but like four or six weeks of that starts feeling like Jameis. But like the Browns fight and Gabriel might have a future in the league. I don't think he's their long-term starter, but he might be able to stick in the league as a backup or a bridge guy if you draft somebody this year and he doesn't have to be ready for week one. They're running the ball well. This kid,
Junkins is legit.
They got him going.
Yeah.
Junkins was good, Gabriel, but let's be honest, guys. If you would have told Kevin Stefanski that, hey, you're going to have a 17-14 lead with 3 minutes to go in the game, and the Vikings go 80 yards on the defense, that
you
has gotten
not
a ton
have
of
thought
praise.
That was going to happen.
Exactly. It was a gut punch loss for them.
Did you see that the Will Ricard, the kicker, tried a field goal and it hit a wire? It looks like it hit a wire.
Well, the league's trying to deny it.
Yeah, like, it looks pretty clear like it hit a wire. Yeah. Like, that should have been, like, it takes a real wanky right turn.
Well, they're trying to, I think, say that, because their hurricanes are not like our hurricanes, but there was like a serious weather. Because I watch a lot of soccer.
Yeah.
Like, podcast. Like, they were dealing with winds and weird gusts because of a weather event going on over there. But yeah,
it didn't look like it hit a wire.
This division is like, it's as bad as it's been. I mean,
the AFC North, you're talking? Yeah.
Long time.
Well, let's go to another game. And a funny thing happened on the way to what looked like to be a coasting Eagles win. They're up 17-3 in the fourth quarter. The Broncos score 18 unanswered to win 21-17. And Sean Payton, their head coach, talks about how they were able to battle back.
Well, when you look at the first half, we lined up illegally. We had a false start. We had two or three MEs. And I said to him at halftime, I thought defensively we were playing well. I said, man, we talked about the game we had to play coming in here, and we're not doing it. So I think we had some – look, we knew it wasn't going to be 6-7 yards a carry. It's a good run defense. But, you know, we got to keep, you know, kind of hitting that bag, and I thought we did. I thought we controlled most of the fourth quarter.
So they come back and win the game. How about going for two there to take the lead, 18-17,
yes.
And Bo Nix hits his old friend Tony Franklin Troy Franklin for the 2-point conversion. Tony Franklin, I think, was a kicker for the Eagles in the 80s.
Yeah.
Bone doesn't know that. But how about J.K. Dobbins? He's either scored a touchdown or had 100 yards, I think, in every game this year for the Broncos. Kind of under the radar, dude. But the Broncos,
they've got Bo Nix going again. He understands how to manage moments of a game and stay within himself for the most part. Got a little away with it early in the season, especially week one at Tennessee, but you could expect that coming off of the season, the sort of freshman season he had. Guess who's allowed the, people were trying to tell me that Denver's defense had slipped. Who do you think's allowed the fewest offensive touchdowns in the league, which is six so far?
I'm going to guess
Denver. The Ravens give up six a game. It's the Denver Broncos. I thought the Broncos could make the AFC Championship game.
You did.
I thought the Broncos had the best defense in the conference. It's them or the Texans. I thought Bo Nix would be fine. I thought they'd get a better run game going. I thought they'd win that division. I would not discount any of that. The Chargers are in big, big trouble on their offensive line right now. And, like, I mean, Denver, look, to lose the heartbreaking games like they lost and then to come back and be the first team to be, Jalen Hurts had won 18 straight games he'd started and finished.
Well, looking at the Eagles, though,
it's broken.
Why did they
can't
not
run the ball or really throw the ball?
They didn't even try to run the football yesterday. They didn't even try. Dude, you were up the whole game until the fourth quarter and Saquon had six carries. How is that possible? 38 passes to 11 carries?
Looks like they missed Kellen Moore. And I'm not a big Kellen Moore guy.
And clearly you want to satisfy Devontae Smith.
Well, they're trying
to
get the wide receivers back on board.
But geez.
But, I mean, look, they'll be fine. But I think it'll be an ugly game Thursday night with the Giants.
Let's go to Seattle, finally. A great old-school uniform, Seattle and Tampa. Tampa Bay comes back to win 38-35. Old friend Mike McDonald, who's 4-8 at home.
Great on the road.
Talks about the loss.
Then, which they've done all year. They're a very tough football team. They're a very good football team. But I have to do better with our defensive game plan and our execution and how we call it. When you put up a performance like that, it means that that I didn't prepare them well enough. So it hurts. It stings. It should, because our guys work extremely hard and they care. But we're going to use this to move forward, and that's the only thing we can do. So we're going to take it on the chin and move forward tomorrow and learn from it and grow and go get ready to play our best game against Jacksonville. So it's really that simple. Our offense played great. Our special teams played great. And I'm sure there's things on that end, too, you know, with penalties and things like that that we got to fix. But we'll learn from all those things and move forward, but we have to do that.
So matchup of former Carolina Panther quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield threw for 379 and two touchdowns. Sam Darnold, 341, four touchdowns. He threw a late interception, but it banged off a guy's helmet.
He rallied him late in the fourth quarter, gave him the lead. They couldn't hold it. Baker Mayfield might mess around and win an MVP award.
Yeah.
They're dealing with it. You want to talk about a team dealing with a lot of injuries. Go look at playing offensive line for them. Then they lose the every down back. They lose Mike Evans. They've had all kinds of issues on defense.
Emeka Buka's a stud.
Yes, he is. Baker Mayfield has the most passing touchdowns in the league since he got to Tampa. He's also the best road-covering quarterback in the NFL since he got to Tampa.
Also got the clutch gene. How many game-winning drives this season? It's like all of their wins.
And me and Beltway Ben were talking about before the shows. Fans need to stop taunting Baker Mayfield because that's like jet fuel for that
why?
Dude.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he's become likable to me. Like, done a complete reverse.
Don't piss off Baker Mayfield, though. He's just going to shove it down your throat. Coming
a lot
up
of
next,
respect for that dude.
You know who's not shoving the ball down the other team's throat? The Ravens running game.
So
we get to the Derrick Henry. Can this work without Lamar Jackson and with this O-line? We'll discuss next here on
Listen Up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Fan.
Yeah, I mean, we need more plays on offense. I mean, we've been in the 50 play range, you know, and that's the biggest thing. And you need more plays. You need more consistency, and definitely, I mean, running the ball is a big part of our plan in that game, and we didn't do it. You know, we just didn't do it. So part of it's the three series. We got into some dropback stuff there and got knocked off the field, and we had the two penalties that Bo's talking about. And the next thing you know, then we throw a couple screens. We hit some screens.
That was John Harbaugh talking about the offense, and they want to run the ball.
Don't throw screens to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw screens to the guys who win in the pass game.
Yeah. But Derrick Henry, that ball was picked off. Derrick Henry, 15 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. There was no joy to be had in this running game, and I guess it begs the question, can they find joy in this running game, especially in the short term with no Lamar Jackson?
Well, look, we all know the narratives that came out of the Kansas City. Somebody's been telling you the only chance they have is presently constructed to sustain an offense and to keep their defense off the field is to have at least four people going out in the routes who could occasionally, or more than occasionally, win in them. That does not include Derrick Henry, especially if Derrick Henry is going to be an albatross on first down. Derrick Henry needed everything to be totally perfect last year, and it was, an absolute dream scenario. Best passing game in the NFL, best quarterback in the NFL, best fullback in the NFL, a good enough offensive line, playing with leads all the time. It was a dream. That's not this year. And he didn't look, I started bringing him up week one. He did not look the same. Even when he went wild for some runs on Buffalo, it didn't look quite the same to me. And the more it's gone, the less he looks and acts like a sledgehammer, and the more sort of puzzled and frustrated and unsure he is. There's been more tippy-toeing. There's been more awkwardness. There's certainly been more fumbling. And I would argue that as presently constructed, he actually makes them a worse offense. Why do I say that? Well, we all know this week was all about Derrick Henry. Mm. How many plays did they run on offense? I'll tell you again, 40. That's abject failure.
Yeah.
Now, more than one of every three was either going to him in the pass game or the run game. You can't tell me he hasn't been featured enough. Derrick Henry has touched the ball on 53% of their first downs for the season. He is 20th in the NFL in first down touches. He's 113th. In first down expected points added. Okay? He's run 41 times this season on first down. 21 of them have gone for 3 yards or less. 17 of them have gone for 2 yards or less. He has the 42-yard touchdown and the 46-yard and 30-yard touchdown on first downs. Those two carries went for 76 yards. The other 39 first down carries have gone for 147. That's 3.8 per carry. Okay. Also on first down, he has 3 fumbles, the interception on the screen pass to him there. They've tried it. It's not working. They're not going to be able to run the ball. Even when Lamar comes back, I'm telling you, it's not going to be last year, and they better start winning on first down with high percentage passes, especially with Cooper Rush for at least another week. Justice Hill needs to be an every down back. Period. This guy's the short yardage back. This guy's the short. He's not even. Even that's not working.
Yeah.
Even that's not working.
Because the line sucks. Like, they're just guys.
It's the same line as last year.
And it's not as good.
No, it's that not, Lamar Jackson hasn't run the ball. No, well, that's the difference.
That's fine, but I'm sorry.
But that's the whole thing that made him go.
That's true, but he's got no shot. Like, there are a lot of problems on this team. I don't think Derrick Henry has watched. He's got nowhere to run. Like, and I'm
he's
not
supposed to run over. Wait a minute.
He
run
over people. There's three guys in his face as soon as he gets the ball.
He's not last in the league in yards before contact or anything like that.
But you watched that game yesterday. Every time he touched the ball, there are three guys right there. He's got no shot. Like, I'm sorry. He's got no shot. And like,
get him off the field. Whether you want to make excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses. He's got nowhere to run.
He can't win for them on early downs. I've been saying it before
the
season
sucks. Nobody's going to win for them running the ball.
No. Throw the ball to Justice Hill.
That's fine. But nobody can win
for them. Throw the ball to Zay Flowers quickly.
That's fine. They're going to have to throw the ball. Nobody can win for them running the football.
I would dispute that. He looks like a 32-year-old back with 3,000 carries under his belt.
I'll say this. No one can
run. He ain't going to win for him.
No one can run the football for them without Lamar Jackson. Right now,
it's 2018 again, pre-Lamar.
How the team is currently constructed, Cooper Rush is the quarterback, because defenses can just load the box. You have no shot. Now, I'm with you. Like, you look at just the 1,000-foot view of first down carries, 5.4, but obviously you got those two long runs that skew things. But right now, without Lamar, you have no shot.
He also doesn't pass protect.
No, he doesn't.
And your offensive line sucks, and you don't have the fullback, so you better have Justice Hill on the field. Stop playing favorites. I don't care where the GM spent his money. The GM's a fool.
Hey,
he's a fool, and he won't be proven to be a fool. He was given Lamar Jackson. He will waste him. He is wasting him.
I agree with a lot of what you say, especially this week with no Ronnie Stanley, and Ronnie Stanley looks compromised anyway. This offensive line is awful, and they don't have the 300-yard fullback. Like, I feel like Derrick Henry is down the list of the problems they have because he's got no freaking chance.
Well,
like,
watching I'll take that yesterday, someone with twitch and explosion who you have to worry about maybe catching a pass than watching this.
Like, they get Lamar back. Then the running, again, I said it earlier. This is 2018 Joe Flacco running. Like, there's nowhere to run.
You're acting like this just started in this game.
No, I hear you. It's been like that for a while.
It's worse now.
Yeah,
it's worse now. All the more reason why, as I was telling you in real time, while Harbs was trying to blame the OC, bro, I guarantee you, if you gave Todd Monken truth serum, he would have said, the 260-pound guy does me no good right now. We ain't Harbs. You could tell me I need to feed him 20 times. They tried. They tried against the exact same team that they destroyed on Christmas
because
Day.
Because they didn't have, they couldn't do what they
whatever
did on Christmas
it is.
Day. They didn't have the MVP quarterback. They didn't have the 300-pound fullback. And the offensive line is a shadow of what it was on Christmas Day.
And I'm telling you, if the offensive line is still bad, they will continue to run blitz. I'll go back to the Cleveland game. They will continue to run blitz on early downs. Derrick Henry is going to have problems. Lamar, with a compromised hammy and a bad offensive line, even when Ricard comes back, is going to have problems. The ball needs to come out quickly. If the running back on the field, A, can't pass protect, and B, can't catch the ball, get him off the field. Now, if you're able to build up a lead with Justice Hill on the field, and so you got him, and you got two tight ends, and at least one wide receiver who might be able to catch the ball and catch it quickly, that's it. And then you get a lead, and you want to try to go to him, great. But I'm just telling you, the best is over. You saw it. It ain't ever getting back to that. Father Time is undefeated.
See,
and he will not have the super special template that they had last year. In part because of that offensive line sucks. The GM didn't get a backup left tackle.
You're right.
The GM didn't replace Patrick McCary.
I think what we're saying
is the GM
sort of the same.
Didn't decide, you know what, these guards, just because I drafted them, might not be that good. Let me get real competition for them. He did none of that. And if you keep putting this guy on the field, even with Lamar, with all that around him, they're going to keep ending up in 2nd and 11 and 3rd and 15. I know what I'm watching.
The other part of it that's tough, though, and this is more for Monken and really the quarterback, like, when Justice Hill's on the field, it's a tell.
That's why he needs to be on the field more.
But the vast majority of the time, you're just, you don't have to worry about running the football. He doesn't get the touches to warrant the respect of a defense.
You could at least pull off, and they did it a couple times, a draw play or something that gets you more than 2.5 yards. More than 3.8 yards.
I feel like this.
It's a tell because they keep. The reason I didn't want him signing this guy in the first place is he doesn't win for you on third down. He in his whole career, as great as he's been,
you're right.
He was never on the field. The modern game is changing. They want to do it their way.
But a year ago, it was great.
They had the greatest offense in the will say by DVOA. Yes. Better than the Coryell Fouts Chargers.
Yes.
Better than the John Taylor, Jerry Rice, Young or
that's a sin you said
Montana.
John Taylor before Jerry Rice.
Like,
that's a
they
sin.
Will tell you what Lamar did and how many rushing touchdowns and how many passing touchdowns they had. And anybody could be the star at any given moment.
I think the one
that might never happen again in the history of the league.
I agree with everything you said, except I don't think this is his fault. Like that, everything
whether
around
it's
him
his
is
fault
crumbled.
Or not. If you think the idea is force feeding him on obvious early downs, you don't know football.
I hear you. They're stuck. They're stuck. But I don't think it's his fault. They're stuck. Like, I'm watching what you're watching yesterday, and what I'm seeing is three guys in his face as soon as he gets the football. I don't know who's beating that.
I mean, but this is the same guy who just runs over. He's a superhero. Last year, he was it. It wasn't everything around him. It was him. There are people who were trying to say he's an MVP candidate. I'm like, what? He wouldn't be doing this not have done it anywhere else.
But that's where, and it was a match made in heaven, where Lamar's not having the type of year that he had without Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry's not having the type of year without Lamar Jackson. It was a perfect fit last year.
And now everything's going to bleep.
You don't think that?
I do. But how do you not fortify against that?
It's a different
The best case scenario.
We're just going to run it back. Yeah, but he sat there and said, I don't have to do much this offseason.
No.
He did say
that. He did. He did.
And I'm like, what happens if the left tackle gets hurt? Mm. What happens if Madubuike gets hurt?
What happens if Rosengarten regresses? What happened to the and now your tackle stink?
What happened if both your guards suck?
Yeah. And if your tackle stink and both your guards stink, that's
and
a problem.
And if both your guards suck, your tiny little center ain't going to be all world anymore.
No.
And you're not going to want to pay him. And you're not going to be able to pay him because now you need a left tackle. Yeah. You need two pass rushers. You need two corners. You need at least one linebacker.
He's
the best GM in the league.
T-Bone time. TMI was
genius.
T-I-M, what you got?
I love his sunglasses at night.
You're right about all of the personnel issues, and we've talked about that all offseason. But I wanted to focus on John Harbaugh because John Harbaugh has had teams even more compromised than yesterday that would battle and fight, and that was one of the big traits of a John Harbaugh coach team, which was unrecognizable yesterday, and we'll get into it more next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Jason, you brought it up after the week one loss, the collapse to the Bills. John Harbaugh, is this done? And you guys were there, and I was like, I don't know if I'm there just yet. After yesterday, this is his last stand, man. It really feels like his last stand. And the biggest reason I say that is because you can go back to 2008, and the best quality of a John Harbaugh coach team is when they're counted out, when they're facing adversity.
The chips are down,
Bone. When the chips are down, that's when they show up. And his rookie year making it to the AFC Championship with a rookie quarterback, beating the number one seed, blowing out the Patriots in Foxborough the next year, winning in Foxborough again in 2012. The other two playoff games were so close. They were one of the few teams that didn't fear going into Foxborough. And other improbable games like beating the Steelers with Ryan Mallett at quarterback. Hell, even when it looked like he was about to get fired in 2018 when they were 4-5 and they win the division. And rallied at that point and completely changed their offense with a rookie quarterback who wasn't a polished passer, nope. Far from it at that point, doing it with Marty Morningwig as offensive coordinator.
Was fun,
but they were able to find a way when they were counted out.
Yep.
The COVID game with Trace McSorley and a skeleton crew of Ravens and 2021, where Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards blow out their ACL in back-to-back plays in practice. J.K. Dobbins, they had worse injuries then than they do now. They had a worse team then and even prior to the Lamar era than they do now. I don't know.
It's a pretty bad roster right
and
now.
And they would battle, man. Like, they would battle. What everyone saw yesterday was an embarrassment and felt like absolutely the low point of the John Harbaugh era, but one of the low points in franchise history when you talk about the biggest home deficit ever of a loss, the third biggest loss in the history of the franchise, and to follow it up on just the season that it has been, where you have a 15-point lead over the Bills with 4 minutes to go and blow it, where Detroit comes in here and bullies you and rushes for over 220 yards. When back-to-back weeks against the Chiefs and the Texans, two struggling offenses, two struggling teams, just it's a get-right game. It felt like a homecoming game yesterday. Mahomes, we haven't seen him be that prolific in so long. C.J. Stroud, that was the best game of his career, and he's looked so far away from what he had been as a rookie. And this would be, especially Sunday, would be a time where no one's going to pick them. They're 7.5-point underdogs. They're facing a team that's pissed off, having coming off a loss in which they laid an egg, and they have extra rest. Like, this would be a time where a John Harbaugh team bows up and fights back, at least makes it respectable. To have three straight non-competitive games, it is just so damning. Yes, organization wide, and you can talk personnel, you can talk all of that, but that hasn't stopped John Harbaugh in the past with the roster that he's been given. Like, that's the thing that was most frustrating about yesterday, is it just looked and it felt done. Quit. It felt like this is it.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything.
And John walking off the field yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was tough to watch, man. Like, that was tough to watch. Morgan Atsit tweeted that out. Check it out if you haven't seen it. But just dozens of fans left.
That was all.
It feels really personal, right?
It feels really visceral. And this organization has carried themselves with an air of arrogance in some of the things they've said and the things they've done. Not everybody loves who the head coach is hobnobbing with before the season starts, or the things that come out of his mouth that don't just have to do with football. Not everybody loves the fact that the billionaire keeps getting handout after handout and sweetheart lease deal and build the black wing and long, and here's black 600 wing. Millions for this and 600 million for that. Not everybody loved the way they handled their disgraced, disgusting kicker. Right, so I feel like this for some people is a bit of a primal scream, of a bit of a bloodletting about how they feel about all things sort of Baltimore Ravens and how the Ravens do or don't represent this city in a lot of different ways. Like that scene with all the people who left and then the ones who stuck around just to heckle the coach.
It was rough.
That didn't seem to me, my 50 plus years on the earth, just to be entirely about football.
Coming up next, Jonah Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He was just at John Harbaugh's Monday presser. He was at the game yesterday. Does he think this thing could be fixed? Is it over? We'll ask Jonas next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.